On this episode of the Cooligans, man, we make some bold predictions for 2026 MLS, and I know not everyone is signed and not everything is done, but who cares, bro? We making some wild predictions. Wait till you hear who Christian thinks is gonna win MLS Cup.
And in the second segment, we're gonna be talking to Danny Navarro, aka Travel Football Fan. You want to know how to get to a World Cup, you want to be mad about the ticket prices, this is the place. This is who you want to listen to and figuring out how to navigate the whole thing, because it's complicated figuring out flights, hotels, and everything, and even just getting tickets themselves. So Travel Football Fan will give you all the advice and help that you need. So all this and more today on The Cooligans.
All right, so it's almost the end of the year, baby. There's a lot of stuff you got to get done before the end of the year. Christmas gifts, holiday gifts, if you don't believe in Christmas, other stuff.
I don't believe.
You know what I mean? I don't know that I believe in Christmas, but I know I have to buy stuff.
I see all these Santas and Christmas trees. I don't believe these are real.
I'm not even going to get into how stupid I think Christmas ornaments and stuff and decorations are. We know you ain't got them lights on your house. Okay. Why would you put something up to just take it down? But that's not the point of this conversation.
Gotcha.
The point of this conversation is sometimes you got to close a couple things. You got to close loops. Like,
why would you put clothes on? Just take them off, man.
I know you got a dick in there. You know what I mean? Why cover it up for the rest of us? The point I'm making is you got to close some loops. You got to put a bow tie on some things. You got to close the parentheses. Sure. One of those is flight status. Okay, this is important to me, all right? Yes. I've flown so much this year.
More important than Christmas ornaments.
But this is my personal gift to me, okay?
Very first world.
I have flown so much that I am now diamond status, but you have to re-earn diamond status every year. You have to spend X amount of MQDs. I think it's like $28,000 in there, like Delta dollars, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's like different ways that you can earn them. I am less than 1,000 away.
The points or dollars,
whatever their MQDs. It's,
yeah, yeah,
it's not exactly dollars, but it's think of it that way. So I have to take one more flight. You can earn MQDs by using your points on a flight. You earn less than if you would spend cash,
right?
But I have enough points where I can take a flight before the end of the year and make that value up.
Sure.
Which allows me to be diamond status for all of next year while it's the World Cup, in case we have to fly places. That means I'm going to get automatically upgraded and I get to board early and, you know, they high-five me when I walk in. I get an extra cookie. You know what I mean? There's important
all
stuff.
Very.
This is so dumb and crucial. So important to me. Mm-hmm. You could care less. I know that. I want luxury, okay? I want this so bad. I'm taking a flight on Wednesday
from LaGuardia
to JFK
to White Plains. Yeah, yeah.
No, I am going. Here's the thing. I have the flight booked to Atlanta right now. And 2 hours later, I get back on a plane and come back to New York.
This is ridiculous. This is like you're literally taking a shit on the environment get a couple down.
Here's the thing. That flight's going to happen no matter what. A shit will be taken on the flight. Probably in the Delta lounge, if I'm being honest, because I'm probably not going to leave the Atlanta airport. Am I adding to it? It's not my fault. Delta makes you take the flight.
I understand.
If I could buy a gift card, I would just do that. Okay? They're not letting me do that. I actually have to be on the plane.
You have to get on the plane.
But here's the thing. Who says I got to go to Atlanta? Nobody. Where should I go? A buddy of mine owns a great pizza place in St. Louis. I have zero reason to go to St. Louis. I have no desire to ever go to St. Louis.
Okay, sorry,
I have
St.
no
Louis
plans
FC fans.
To go to St. Louis. No, what I mean is like there's not a burning desire for me to go there. If I ever end up there, I'm happy. Why don't I go fly, meet my homie, see his new pizza place, which I helped him come up with the dough recipe for, mm-hmm. and then get back on a plane, maybe bring a pizza with me, get back on a plane, and come back to New York.
Seeing your friend is a good enough reason. Why are you saying you have no reason whatsoever?
What I'm saying is until I told you that, I wanted you to know it's not like I have like family there or something. Like, oh, I go to St. Louis all the time. I never have really a reason to go to St. Louis.
I understand that, yes.
But should I go to St. Louis? Should I go somewhere else? Where else could I go?
How much do you like this friend? How much do you care about this friend?
Forget that part. Is there somewhere else? Is there something else? Where, if you could go anywhere for like 2 to 3 hours, where would you go?
In the United States, yeah. I assume.
Is there something where you're like, oh, I really wanted to see this place in the winter or something? Maybe Chicago?
Maybe, what's that?
I got friends who own pizza places in Chicago.
That point that is four states connect that people...
It's like in Missouri or something, right?
Is it like Oklahoma?
Like the Simpsons did it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's you could stand at five states at one time.
Something like that, yeah. That's the first place that came to mind. I wouldn't want to spend a lot of time there, but I'm like, oh, if I could just go and take the photo, be like, yo, I was in five states at once.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Not as exciting as going to see a buddy of mine who owns a pizza place.
You know what I mean? Is it though? It might be. It might be.
That's some real white family vacation movie thing to do.
Sure, sure. Well, we got
like Dominicans aren't like, oh yeah, where you want to go this year? Hey, let's go to the place where it's the five states.
Dude, honestly, yeah.
That honestly, doesn't feel like a us thing.
Honestly, because my TikTok is so catered to like my algorithm is so catered to me.
To children. Because you have a kid, right? So you look up children's stuff. No, is that true?
No.
Your algorithm hasn't been like, it's not like bluey, you know?
No. Mine
is more blowy, and she needs to stop posting because my wife is asking questions.
Mine will be more like, you know, dads who are giving advice on how to raise children, not cater to children anyway. But no, there's a lot of Dominicans abroad. So, like, Dominicans in places you don't think Dominicans would be.
A Dominican in Ottawa.
So, one of them, I just saw yesterday, a Dominican in Alaska being annoyed with moose crossing in front of his car. And he's like, hey, ¿quién te dijo a cruzar la calle aquí, coño? Right?
There's
like,
a Dominican in Alaska.
There's a Dominican in Alaska.
I'm going to say this. Go wherever your heart takes you. There's no reason any Caribbean needs to be in Alaska. So, what are you running from, sir? Nah, you got warrants. That's what you got.
So that's a fun. So Dominicans are everywhere.
So other than the five states, any crowd? We got anything here? Anything?
Where'd you go for 2-3 hours?
Where would you go? If you had 3 hours, you could go anywhere. You're using points, so the flight's free.
And again,
free.
Make it very clear, Alexis does not want to see family or friends. That is not a priority.
Notice Miami's not one of the options, and I have family there. I'm not going to Miami 3 hours to hear why I'm not great and then come home.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well.
Anything else? Anything? Where would you go?
Somewhere warm.
Warm? See, I thought about that. Now, I'm not bringing luggage, which who knows if I'm going to get on this plane without checking a bag. I'm going to bring a backpack with like a change of underwear in case I shit my pants or something. You never know. Maybe a different t-shirt in case I stain it. But I want to go somewhere where I don't have to hold this jacket because it's cold here. So I'm going to bring a jacket. I don't want to now hold the jacket in warm weather for 2 hours. So I'm going to go somewhere that's also kind of cold. That's why Chicago was on the thing. Nashville. I just went to Nashville a couple months ago. Right, but good option.
All right. Well,
right.
I mean, this is what a.
Let us know. Let us know in the whatever.
So many,
DM us. DM me.
So many problems going on in the world. Alexis is like, hey, get to this first. Let's
you know what
this
I was
out.
Thinking? I was thinking Toronto. But if I bring a passport, that's pissing wifey off, I think. You can't go international. Because I thought Puerto Rico. What, imagine I went to Puerto
Toronto's
Rico for 3 hours.
Closer than Atlanta.
No, it's about the same. 2 hour flight.
Is it? No, Atlanta's like 2.5.
Chicago's 2 hours. Toronto, and they're right next to each other.
Toronto's closer than Atlanta, no?
No, it's about the same. But what would piss her off is if I needed a passport, that would piss her off. But should I just fly?
How would the passport piss her off? What is
that? I don't know. That just feels like, oh, you could have taken me. It feels like the vibe of it.
You're already taking a pointless flight to get some dumbass status.
Okay.
So you can get an extra
goddamn
cookie.
The word pointless is subjective, everybody.
Anyway, all right. Let's get this
If y'all
show.
Can think of somewhere better, I'll go. But if not, I think I'm going to St. Louis.
Okay. Enjoy. lovely time. Lovely places.
You want to come with me?
No.
Oh, okay. You want to not see your kid for about 8 hours?
Yeah. No, that'll piss off my wife. Yeah. Legitimately. Okay. Let's get going. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Another hot show today.
Oh, boy.
Can't believe we did it again.
Hot show. Are you excited about this?
How many weeks in a row has it been a hot show? But we are joined a little bit later. We're going to be joined by Danny Navarro, a.k.a. Travel Football Fan. He is the man giving you all the advice on how to navigate this World Cup.
Speaking of travel.
Exactly. That's who you should be talking to about this. So, obviously he's been covering the World Cup and not only how to get around and whether it's collecting points, whether it's figuring out the hotels and all that stuff and simply also getting tickets. But we talk about everything going on and how and why everything is going, sort of crazy with this World Cup. So he'll be joining us in just a little bit. But let's get started today. Which MLS club is going to fall apart spectacularly in 2026? We're making the bold calls nobody else is willing to make about MLS's biggest collapse this season.
All right, since you started with that, I kind of know who I think is going to have the biggest collapse in 2026.
I got mine as well.
All right, let me go first. I think the biggest collapse in 2026 is going to be the Columbus Crew.
Interesting.
Now, let me explain. Wilfred Nancy is more than just a manager. He came with an ethos, a system that I'm not necessarily sure most MLS clubs are able to find a replacement for.
Okay.
So losing Wilfred Nancy, he's not doing great at Celtic, unfortunately.
That's actually going quite badly.
It's about as bad as you can go. But I think if he's given enough time, it's a pressure job, so I don't know if he's going to get that time.
Right,
but if he's given enough time, I think he'll be fine. But for Columbus Crew, how are they going to find someone that is as inspirational, which was a big part of it? We interviewed both Darlington Nagbe and Aiden Morris after the MLS Cup, and all they talked about was how much they played for him.
Yeah.
Who would come with his tactical understanding, his ability to create. Christian Ramirez is a great example of a player where we thought he was one thing, and then he goes to Columbus Crew, and Wilfred Nancy is able to mold him into something slightly different that fits the project as good. There's probably going to be a little bit. I'm not saying that they're not going to be able to find a manager that can't take them back to MLS Cup and all that, but it's going to take time.
But it's concerning that they do not have a manager yet. Like, we don't know who that is going to be.
We haven't even heard any names floated around.
Right.
And this is a massive hire. Do you just take his assistant and hope he kind of understands, similar to what Wilfred Nancy was able to do post Thierry Henry when he was his assistant? Maybe there's someone waiting in the wings that we don't know about. But as of right now, to me, I think we're going to see the Columbus Crew that we expect is always in the conversation. I don't think they're going to be in the conversation next year based on how they look right now.
Sure. I would add to that, I think even once Cucho Hernandez left, that's when things started getting a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. Or it wasn't the same dominant Columbus Crew that Wilfred Nancy had.
And now no Darlington Nagbe either.
Yeah.
So, and no Aiden Morris because he's at Middlesbrough.
So there's a lot to figure out for them. My choice... that's going to be either biggest disappointment and maybe continued disappointment, but Red Bull New York, a.k.a. formerly New York Red Bulls.
So are you saying that as a New York City FC fan, or are you saying that?
I'm just saying that as a guy with a podcast.
Okay, all right.
No, I mean, look, we just got the news about Michael Bradley being the new head coach for the team.
I think that's actually a smart hire.
I don't think it's bad. It would be his, he coached Red Bull too. So this will be his first real big opportunity.
There's legacy there, right? His dad was a manager there.
And we'll
he was a kid when his dad was.
Was Metro Stars. No.
Wasn't his dad?
Was Bob Bradley a Red Bull coach? Can we confirm? I don't think he was.
I don't know why I feel like. Well, I know he was a Chicago Fire coach. He was famously.
I don't know if he was.
But I feel like he was involved. But anyway, he's from Jersey.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's some level of connection.
All right, so forget I said that, but he's from Jersey.
So
I think he came up. He was the coach.
He was the coach. Okay.
Aha!
All right. Red Bull or Metro Stars?
Metro Stars.
See? Okay. All right.
I mean, same organization.
I'm just saying. I'm just letting people know the knowledge is here, bro. Oh,
yeah, dog. He's wearing glasses now.
Okay. Glasses Christian is a little bit
different. Yo, four-eyed Christian is nose ball, dude.
But I think obviously Lewis Morgan going to San Diego FC.
Massive loss. Great striker.
Sure. Injury kind of prone.
Scottish national team. That's an important player in MLS.
But then I think a bigger loss is Carlos Coronel, the goalkeeper.
A thorn in everyone's side that plays against Red Bull.
So look, whether you liked him or hate him, if you're a Red Bull fan, he was important in some games, but this past season, they get to an MLS Cup final, then miss the playoffs, and he wasn't his best this season. So I don't know who is going to be the replacement or who are they looking forward to. I know the backup, I forgot who he was. He did well in... Open Cup or something like that, or Leagues Cup. I forgot what he was playing in. So maybe there is, maybe they have a backup there. But that's, I'm expecting less than Red Bull gave last season in 2026. So I think it's going to get worse.
There is a fear that, and this is from the fan base, we have friends that are big Red Bull fans, there's a fear that there's like a lack of interest from the Rebel organization in that team.
Sure.
And you can see that sort of play out. So there's
imagine Jurgen Klopp working for your organization and they're like,
he showed up.
And they're like, Michael Bradley's the guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hire this guy. Never heard of him, but his dad was here.
So I'm just saying. I mean, like, I don't know how much influence Jurgen Klopp is having on changing this team.
I mean, there were rumors that they wanted to sell the team. I mean, there seems to be a lot of back and forth. There's no like definitive like
sure.
The Rebel New York. You know, they're like, what do you mean we didn't sign anybody? We took the S off the bull. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we moved it to the front. At the end of the day, we're making adjustments here.
We're working here. You see me sweating.
You know, our scout was the one who had to find a replacement for that S, and he went, what about a space? what do we do with the biggest offseason signing? Who you got for me?
For me, it hasn't been confirmed, but according, you know, our sources are basically saying it's basically there. But Tom Boger of The Athletic had reported that Jacob Glasnost will be joining LA Galaxy really soon. They just had this sorting out the final details. This is a tremendous signing. I mean, LA Galaxy,
for the Euro snobs among us, you might not know who we're talking about, but this is an MLS elite defender.
This is Saliba going to
100%
going to LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
So Jacob Glasnost, former MLS Defender of the Year, I believe 2 years ago. Fantastic defender. Mm-hmm. 30 years old. He's a little bit older, but as far as what the bar is at the LA Galaxy when it comes to defending,
what do they need?
They needed. I mean, they need
four guys named Jacob Glasnost on the back line.
They need missile turrets. Yeah. 100%. On the back line to defend anybody.
They need like former plumbers pickup trucks with turrets on the back.
and Jacob Glasnost is the closest to that. So that a tremendous signing as far as improving a team immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you?
For me, the biggest offseason signing, Inter Miami signing Sergio Reguilón.
Yeah.
What a massive signing.
We just saw this. Sergio Reguilón, I mean, 20 years old. His last club is Tottenham, right? He was on loan.
He played at Manchester United for a bit. He played at Tottenham for a bit. I forget what Spanish club.
Nobody wants this guy for some reason.
He's still a Premier League level player.
He's still very good. I don't really...
Going to the team that just won. They just won MLS Cup.
Obviously, Jordi Alba, he's going to be taking that position. So Jordi Alba leaving, retiring. So Busquets as well. But hey, look, that's at 28 years old, this caliber player, Spanish international. Prime. Yeah, great player.
This is a massive signing for Inter Miami, specifically because there is no letdown, right? You think like, all right, the project came to fruition. You won MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. All right, slow down on signing these big names. And there is zero slowdown. They are going even harder. Sergio Reguilón is as big a signing as a Jordi Alba at that age, as a Busquets at his age when he came. This is a massive signing because he's 28 years old.
Yeah, but it goes also to the people that are like, MLS is just a retirement league and blah, blah, blah. Like, this is what the discourse I've been seeing about Wilfred Nancy, about like why he's not doing well at Celtic. It's like, MLS, this is not a real league. A lot of some people are like, I'm from here. I live in America. MLS is unwatchable.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what you may have some disappointment, but a 28-year-old player that clearly has a lot of offers in Europe and choosing to come play in MLS.
Could have very easily played at Eredivisie. Could have very easily played in La Liga.
Probably made more money as well.
To want to play with Messi. But the biggest thing for me is this continues to show that having Messi on your team is not just an advantage on the pitch, it's an advantage in the conference room and in the negotiations.
Sure.
And MLS needs to do a lot more to open up the purse strings so that other teams can compete, because this is wildly unfair to every other team that they can't say like, oh, you get to play with Messi. It's not the same as to be like, yo, you get to play with Carlos Coronel's backup. You know, it's not going to Emile Forsberg. Yo, you a big Emile Forsberg fan?
Not me since day
one.
You know
what I mean? You know what I mean? If you're Orlando City, how do you do that? You know what I mean? You better sign. What's my guy's name? I forget his name now. Richarlison. Yeah, sure. You have to sign someone like that. I hope players want to play with you. There's nothing else. You can't compete with having Messi on a team. And to me, open up the purse strings, let these teams pay a lot of money for players so that they can compete with Inter Miami. Because if not, we're going to see Inter Miami just walk their way to the MLS Cup yet again.
We shall see. All right. How about MVP for an early prediction? Think is going to be
I'll
MVP?
Go first. Why are we even having this conversation? It's Lionel Messi. Another player could score double the amount of goals as him, could get double the amount of assists, could be perfectly healthy throughout the whole season and have be an Iron Man, never miss a minute of every 90, and everyone's still going to vote for Lionel Messi.
Oh, okay, I mean, it might be. So this is the only pushback is that Jordi Alba and Busquets are retiring. I think this Inter-Miami team is going to look a little bit different. It's hard to replace those two players
100%.
That can deliver the level of service mm-hmm. to Messi to get him another MVP. And Messi's not going to get an MVP just because he is Messi. The two he won were because he unbelievable amount of goals.
He missed almost half a season.
In the first, yes, but in the last game of the season, he scores, four goals?
He's still Messi.
I understand that, but he earned his MVP. You don't think you think it's just because it's Messi that's why not the stats themselves.
If that was Cucho Hernandez who scored as many goals as he did, missed that amount of time and then came back and scored 4 goals, he wouldn't have won.
The tiebreaker is Messi if they have the same exact stats, yes. But not if Cucho has more, more of an impact, more goals, more goal contributions.
Didn't matter. You can make an argument that other players made a bigger impact throughout the whole stretch of the season and they didn't win MVP. Lionel Messi did, because that name rises above all else.
For his first season, I'll give you that I think the Messi bump happened, not the second season. He was the best player in MLS history last season.
The only competition he has coming up this year is Heung-min Son. Or Son Heung-min.
So I have one of the finalists for MVP the last couple of years is Denis Bouanga, and this is because of Son, and Bouanga only had 12 games or something in the regular season to play with Son, and was already an MVP finalist.
They're going to be formidable next year.
So that's why I think it's either going to be Son or Bouanga, a possible MVP. But I think Bouanga has a strong chance because he's going to get a lot of service. You know he's going to get a bunch of
Son
goals.
Son is versatile. Danny Bouanga ain't passing to nobody.
right.
It's going to be a lot more of Son passing to Bouanga and scoring than it is Bouanga passing to Son.
I think he has a solid chance. But obviously, Messi is in the league, and it is what it is. So, all right.
It's going to be Messi.
How about surprises of the season? I'll go first. Mm-hmm. What team I think will surprise me? This is a team, the bar is in hell. Anything they do will be an improvement. But Atlanta United, Tata Martino is coming back to the team to fix. Everything fell apart as soon as he left. He's like,
Miggy Almirón's back. They're trying to dial that clock back to 2018, bro.
Okay. They're trying to get the gang back together.
They're like, yo, COVID never happened,
Joseph
baby.
Joseph Martinez is a free agent.
He's so old now.
Why not bring him back, bro, for the vibes? He has a mural.
Let him hit the spike. You don't need to be on that pitch, dog.
But Atlanta United I think it's going to be a surprise this season, and I want them to surprise me this season.
Define surprise.
I make the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot.
It is, but I think Tata Martino will be able to do something. Anything is better than what's been going on. The team is too good. There's too much investment. So clearly, to me, it is a tactical issue. It's a coaching issue. The players themselves are good enough.
The general indifference from the fans has me scared that they may have slightly lost that market from the vibe that they built in 2018.
You think they're New York Red Bulls? They still show up to the game.
Relax, not that bad. I mean, if you're watching, you can see my pick. My pick also bar set so low this year.
Sure.
It's LA Galaxy, because I think Ricky Puig coming back. Now they signed players like Jacob Glesnes to shore up some of the backline issues, if that's fully signed and sealed. We've heard it is. If that's the case, that means that they are correcting the issues they had. Plus, I don't know. There's something about the Marco Royce signing that has felt a little meh so far. But now with Sun being at LAFC, I think LA Galaxy realizes, ayo.
Yeah, we got to do something.
We
got to be competitive.
Yeah, we're not just competitive, but we need to re-earn the city. Like, LA feels like a city where it's like a tug of war as to who owns the city between LAFC and LA Galaxy. There's diehards on both sides that are going to make their arguments in the comments, I'm sure. But for me, it feels like who's running the culture, who controls the culture in the city. LA Galaxy had a 20-year head start. LAFC, they're right in the middle, in the thick of it. I think it's back and forth. I think right now with Sun, LAFC is going to be a massive ticket. It's going to be a massive vibe. LA Galaxy got to do something. Ricky Puig coming back.
The barometer has always, especially in LA, the barometer is what celebs are sitting at the in the front row watching the games.
Right.
Okay. LAFCs,
they get a lot. Yeah.
They get some good names. Yeah. So LA Galaxy, you gotta be in these big matches so that people want to show up.
You gotta do something to get people to Carson. You know what I mean?
And it might be.
You want to get there, get in your car, son. You know what I mean? That's why they named it that way. That's why they named it that.
Damn, bro.
Hold on. Thank you, everybody.
Audience goes wild.
The disappointment in our producers right now is crazy. They're all shaking their heads in embarrassment. But I will say, I think LA Galaxy have a chance to do something here. Now that Ricky Pooch is back, they can be the toast of the town, if you will. Yeah, I think that could be the surprise. Yeah, and for me, the surprise isn't just getting to the playoffs. I have LA Galaxy getting to at least the Western Conference Finals.
Wow. Okay. That would be quite the surprise. All right.
Certainly.
MLS Cup winner.
Let me just go first. Get it out of the way. Miami. Why are we even having this conversation?
Again.
Why are we even having this
Miami
conversation?
Miami thing. Again, you lose two tremendous players in 100%. Alba and Busquets, and it's not a lock, bro.
It's a big deal.
We don't even know what this team is going to look like going forward.
I don't think it matters. You have Lionel Messi. I don't think Reguilón is the only signing. Rodrigo De Paul comes back.
Yes.
I don't think he's the only signing. I think they're going to continue to find these magical 18-year-old Argentinians that have waited their whole lives to play with Messi and will forego the propulsion into Europe to do that. Who do you got?
I got NYCFC. New York City FC coming back, getting to the Eastern Conference Final.
You know I'm a massive NYCFC fan.
No, I didn't know that. Please explain.
I think you're crazy.
No, nothing crazy.
For winning MLS Cup is...
Nothing crazy about it. Again, okay. Talk to me. I have no reason to necessarily think that Inter Miami are going to be dominant.
Forget Inter Miami. Why New York City FC?
Because, I would say the one caveat is Justin Hack. Re-signing with the team. He is a free agent right now. He's currently
super versatile.
Currently in negotiations. NYCFC are trying to keep him. If anybody at the club is watching, please do everything you can.
Sign this guy. He's clearly important.
New sporting director guy. Sorry, I forgot your name right now. But you came from Sacramento.
The guy's sitting in David Lee's desk right now. It's not your desk. We understand. We can't remember your name. But yo, Justin Hock, sign this kid up. Make him sign the ting.
Need him back. So, but them getting to the Eastern Conference Final and then that second half of the season was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Pascal Janssen was arguably, could have been MLS Coach of the Year just for that.
Just the playoffs.
That turnaround, yeah. So there's I have no reason to doubt if they got to the Eastern Conference Final this time. The other concern, Alonso Martinez did tear his ACL, and he wouldn't be back until midseason.
Tough loss because he's a great striker. But also, Maxi Morales is getting older.
And still productive.
But he's too important.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to put that much weight on the shoulders of a 38, 39-year-old man to continue to play at the level that he's playing at. And every time I say that, he does it for another year. So some point, I will be right. I don't know when it is.
The core of the team, I think, is pretty strong. And also, you know, a lot of people doubted the team or at the very least didn't expect that they would get as far as they did. I mean, it was a tough loss to Inter Miami, but they got through Charlotte. They got through the Philadelphia Supporter Shield winners. I mean, it was a team that's put together in like an intelligent way, and then also the Pascal Janssen's lineup choices outside of that you know, I think the loss to Inter Miami is not reflective of like what the season was, what the team really the heart that the team had. They just faced up, you know, against
it's a juggernaut.
So, but yeah, I'm
I hope you're right.
Optimistic about next season. I think they could go.
Todd Donovan,
shout out to Todd.
We were just playing. We know your name, dog.
we
loved it when you played at LA Galaxy.
LA Galaxy, you won a couple of MLS Cups,
and now he thinks you're gonna bring one here. How incredible is that? We knew that. We definitely didn't just read that.
My homie TD.
Yo, TD Dunny, Big Dun. In fact, yo, dun, you get that Law and Order sound, bro.
That's right. You in New York now,
damn,
bro.
Son. Bam, bam. Dun.
Okay. Drop the hammer, Todd.
All right.
All right. Let's get to our conversation with Danny Navarro, travel football fan. And we'll talk to him about everything going on with the World Cup and how to get tickets to this
whole. I should go.
All right. So here's the conversation with travel football fan. The World Cup in North America is not only really difficult to find tickets for, flights and hotels are also another thing that's very challenging.
Understanding how to do all that is hard for us, and we live here. So we interview someone who can finally break it down for everyone. So if you're coming to North America, if you want to come check out a World Cup game, this is the guy who's going to teach you how to do it all.
Here's our interview with the one and only travel football fan, aka Danny Navarro. I just want to let our audience know what it is that you do and how you got into covering not just getting tickets for games, but like capturing the journey and capturing the journey of getting tickets to those matches and those experiences.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it all began in Qatar 2022. You know, went to see the World Cup for the first time. That was my first ever World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it in style, I guess. You know, we flew business class on Emirates. You know, we stayed 15 nights in Dubai, and we all did that with points and miles. And so the whole thing of that story was that was a trip that was easily $20,000,
yeah,
you know, in value. But instead, with our points and miles that we used, we ended up only paying out of pocket $5,000. And we stayed at 5-star hotels. We flew business class, like I said. You know, we had champagne in the sky. You know, we had the bar in the back of the plane. Like, that's how we flew.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with that understanding, we went to Qatar. We knew, you know, like just how much it took to go to one game in Qatar and all the fan festivals there in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. That's what basically clicked to me. Like, hey, you know, the World Cup's coming here to the States and Mexico and Canada. Like, we went from Disney World, you know, geographically speaking,
yeah,
to like a continent. We're literally here in three different countries. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. The geography
a little bit, the commute's a little bit tougher.
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher, a little bit longer, right? And so since then, I've been covering traveling to the World Cup and travel policy to the World Cup. And as you've probably been telling the news, it's become a little bit much more difficult to travel. And then, of course, that brings in the politics talk, which I know a lot of people don't like. But in order to be able to cover how to travel to, you know, especially to the United States, we have to talk about who is setting the rules to travel and how we can travel.
100%, yeah. I mean, it's been a journey following you. Argue with all the people. I mean, your comment section is people like, hey, keep politics out of sport. And it's like, well, why is Trump banning people from Iran to come play the game? They play the games here. How are Iranian people going to go if they're banned and they're on some travel ban and stuff like that? So it's like, you can't not address. It'd be weird if you didn't say anything about it. But when it comes to the we could get right into it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The politics around it, it's, I mean, look, I'm a fan of you. I'm a fan of your ideology and everything.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I'm preaching to the choir right here. Yeah.
This is not a debate show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe we need to scoop up more people off the street.
No.
That's not going to happen here.
Right.
But did you think it was going to be this contentious? And you're trying to help people travel to games. And this is the pushback that you're getting.
So I think what happens is that because when they hear not only politics, but they hear someone living in D.C., which is, you know, I guess for half this country is the swamp, or maybe everyone is the swamp for that matter. They already have a certain image of, you know, bad people, you know, like sleazy people, like corrupt people in D.C. And so what I'm trying to do is to pretty much unpack that and show people that, well, this is where the rules are made, you know, for better or worse. We have elections. We pick people that are setting the rules up for this. And mind you, you know, since we're talking on tickets and visas, because they are tied together, right? I have been lobbying both the Biden administration and not really the Trump administration now. They basically said, no, we don't want to hear from you. But the Biden administration.
They're not picking up your calls?
No. They're not answering emails. They're not answering all my comments to their videos. No, but, I was lobbying with the Biden administration. Hey, guys, like, you know, what is the visa process? Because how do you expect people to buy tickets to the World Cup when, for example, para los colombianos, right now, as of today, it takes 9.5 months to get an appointment, to get an interview, to get the visa, an appointment, not your visa.
Right.
Everything all set, nice and done. Hey, welcome to America. You can come over here for a couple months and go watch some soccer. No, the appointment to interview to see if you are vetted enough to qualify enough to come to the United States. And they were just dragging their feet. And so then, of course, when Trump wins the election, it was like, oh no, we are going to see a very adversarial administration tell people they cannot come. Why do you know? I was proven right on that front.
Right.
Oh, but Trump's a businessman. He's like, no, he doesn't care about that anymore. It's or at least the people in his administration do not care about the foreigners coming here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every part of the kind of Trump policy always feels like visas. I mean, $100,000 in my pocket would be nice.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's exactly what it is.
You're not going to do me a favor. And this is why every time Infantino is at the Oval Office, you know, looking at the club.
Infantino, you could pass by my house, by the way. You know, looking like, at down the street.
Looking at the Club World Cup trophy that Trump stole.
Qué pena,
bro. when I see that, it's just it's like, look, the rules are basically like, if you don't bend the knee, you ain't getting, the World Cup is going to be a lot more tougher to host in this country.
Yeah.
And that it's just like, so, wherever you land, like politically, it's just like, if Trump is a businessman, he is making business harder.
He's definitely making business harder. So for example, I have sources that have told me that FIFA really believes that they could sell out all the games in the United States with just the U.S. fan base.
Wow.
They really, truly believe that. And so that's why they're kind of not really pushing hard on this, on these visa issues. Or for example, how they recently announced the FIFA pass you to get your appointment faster. Again, it's just the appointment. We're not talking about the extra fees that this administration has put, $250 visa integrity fee, which in it, you're basically assuming that these people are kind of come to the World Cup, go see their game, and you know what? I'm going to stay here.
Yeah,
It's the myth of the visa overstay.
Yeah,
it's a myth, okay? Mm-hmm. And so you have all of these rules, and then you have ICE with all these raids, and Trump basically threatening today also was like, oh, I want Seattle. No games in Seattle. And Infantino's looking, I'm like, I'm going to lose my bag. I just made money off these right to buys, and like now I'm going to get sued by the city of Seattle for not bringing the games to them. Like,
it's bad, man. I think people who are not like locked into soccer every single day may not think about this stuff like day to day, but it's really and it's not just the World Cup, right? Almost every aspect of the game. I mean, just we think of soccer as this sort of big thing, but in general, it's just live. It's just a live event.
Yeah.
At a venue. And just like if it's a Taylor Swift concert or whatever, like all the same aspects have to be kind of like put in place. So all those policies from city councils to governments to governors.
Well, public transportation.
Right.
Absolutely on that front. Right. So we go from a national to a more state and local issue. Public transportation. A lot of people also, it's like we're doing a civics class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I talk about soccer, but I'm talking about the travel, but the civics of it and everything, because people are not realizing that for a lot of these American World Cup host cities, the public transportation system is not there for them. And then when they get here to America, for example, Miami, I don't like talking bad about my hometown of Miami.
Uh-huh.
But when they land there at Miami International, they're going to have to go straight to that car rental center because there's only one bus route that will take them, not even from the airport, but from the nearest metro station up to Hard Rock Stadium. Yeah. One bus route.
Yeah,
that's insane.
And this is like you mentioned like a civics class, and this is like why sports can like change communities, change the world, right?
Absolutely. I really truly believe
that. And it's because when you're hosting a World Cup, I mean, Foxborough is like building a train station,
yes,
with like an extra stop,
yeah, so expansion and everything. Yes.
So that's a good outcome. You get a World Cup, and now you have an easier way to get to Patriots games or New England Revolution,
which is 40 minutes away, by the way. On that transit or an hour and change, driving away. Which then we talk about the parking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, FIFA variable pricing parking is the craziest thing I did not expect out of this tournament. Because you're telling me we're gonna be paying $100 for group stage. Oh, but when we get to the final here in MetLife, pay $175. That is nuts.
Yeah,
we're gonna variable price hot dogs. I promise. Like that, they're gonna look into that. All right, I'm gonna chase down my people on this.
There's gonna be a stock ticker for the hot dog prices.
Everything is gonna increase in price the longer we go through this tournament, and that just speaks to how FIFA sees the American consumer here, the American sports consumer.
Yeah, I do think it's that, and I do think this is me just being kind of cynical. I think there is a little bit of like an abuse of the American consumer.
Oh, absolutely.
They know I bought tickets. I mean, what am I going to do?
Soy colombiano. I gotta know where Colombia's playing.
Not buy tickets. I want to go to World Cup. So because of that, that strong need and desire. But then there's the conspiracy theorist in me says like, the Trump admin's getting something on the side. Maybe FIFA feels like they have to get...
Ivanka Trump is in the educational board of FIFA,
mm,
which is handling your money that you bought in tickets. That ticket money goes to their education fund to help promote the game worldwide.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything.
We could get...
I'm not getting sued.
I mean, like the what was it? The New York, who was it? That the whole FIFA thing a couple years ago.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's a whole. Obviously, there's a. It's not to say that there's that. It's just a clean bill for
no.
For
FIFA. No, that's not exactly what's happening.
But it is a it's a frustrating situation to me because I've already seen it. People seeing the World Cup prices and they're like, oh, I'm not going to this. Or even. You know, Zoran Mamdani doing the campaign to...
The only politician, Democrat or Republican, calling out FIFA.
Right.
Now, is he going to, you know, is FIFA going to listen to him? Probably not because, you know, they're like, whatever. But it still holds importance because he is from the biggest city of say Mexico City, but of the American cities. You know, he's the biggest one saying, hey, this is not right.
Yeah.
And it's good that he has this soccer background. Granted, he's an Arsenal fan, you know, Spurs. Come on. Europa League, can't say that. He's right. Like, I maybe just lost my chance of getting the World Cup czar, you know, position I applied for,
Arsenal
by the way.
Fans want to say that. But okay.
But hey, we got to take our wins when we can. We get them, okay? Como Colombia, you know, like, hey, we got to the Copa America final, you know, that's going to last us for a while. But the fact is that Mayor Alec Mamdani is the only politician speaking out for the fans. That is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you have President Claudia Sheinbaum basically forcing FIFA to be, you're not going to allow dynamic pricing in Mexico, and you're not going to allow resale in Mexico. Now that's the president.
Wow, it'd be nice if we had leadership like that.
Right, exactly. Oh, and she's giving away her FIFA ticket to a boy or girl in Mexico to go enjoy the game. You think Trumpito's going to be doing that?
Because you hear so many stories of people who went to the 94 World Cup.
Yes.
And, you know, Alexis always tells his story. He went to Ireland. I forget who they played, but he went to a game with Ireland. Mm-hmm. And it was like a family friend. One of the kids got sick. And, and they were like, oh, do you want to, you know, they asked his mom to go to the game. And he was like, oh, sure, I'd love to. And it's like, that's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. It's not going to be, you know, a $700 ticket that you're just going to give away. Like, that's the frustrating situation. And, yeah, it's a bummer that this is what we sort of have to go through. And there's no alternative, right?
No. So, for example, so remember when they said tickets are going to start at $60. This is going to be the most exclusive World Cup ever. Have you looked at the seat maps? Yeah, you know, like Kansas City, like literally we're changing the floodlights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know that's what you got to pay for. For $60, you can watch the game and fix the floodlight. In the meantime, make sure Ronaldo can score, you know, a banger, you know, free kick.
So when it comes to, I mean, look, we can talk about a lot of the frustrations. I mean, when it comes to the World Cup being in U.S., Mexico, and Canada, and you navigating through it, how do you want? What are the positives you want to find from people like learning, you know, from the information that you share and then being able to go to the game? What do you want to get?
So I think one of the main things is the best place, I would say, in terms of purely public transportation to enjoy the World Cup is going to be here in the Northeast.
Okay.
The United States. Amtrak, the buses, multiple airports, airport and public transportation hubs that exist between Boston, New York, Philly, and Toronto. We got to include Toronto in that space. Yeah. Is amazing. I think I've called it before Group I. If you want your team, if you want to have the best travel experience for yourself, meaning, you know, you're not spending a lot of money, Group I. You are praying, you're doing Santeria to your team that they land in Group I.
Okay, I love this.
Because that is going to be the shortest. There's other groups that will require you to go from Guadalajara through Atlanta and Miami. That's going to be kind of crazy. You're going to have to go bouncing countries. And so for those, you're just going to have to prepare to, all right, hope to get the right customs border agent at the airport
that day. Yeah,
and, you know, like just suit up a little bit more. Don't come on, you know, like straight from the hotel room, looking all raggedy. No, suit up. Actually, that's what they told Boca Juniors fans to do when they were arriving in Miami during the Club World Cup.
Wow.
Don't come in your jerseys. Come basically business attire.
Wow, I just get a suit with a MAGA hat on, draped in an Israel flag.
You might have to do all of that just to get through. So it's crazy that, you know, and again, that's a little bit of a frustration, but like the positive here is that you got to find, you know, the city that fits your vibe, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, for example, Seattle and Vancouver, in terms of climate, if you don't like the hot weather, you don't like the humidity, avoid Miami. You know, that's just the reality. I mean, you can be at the beach, but then you're going to be stuck in 3-hour traffic. So you got to account for that. Vancouver, Seattle is going to be the best in terms of weather, right? Shout out to Monterrey. You know, they did invite me to come in and see their preparations. That stadium in El Estadio Acero, like, looks amazing with that mountain backdrop. And that's I saw it just with clouds, and I could tell that, no, there's something humongous.
Yeah, it's iconic, yeah.
Yeah, back there. Their fan festival is going to be 39 days. They actually have been voted the best committee of organizing the fan festival, Monterrey. So, like, this might be the World Cup of the fan festivals for a lot of us that can't afford tickets or that can only maybe go to one.
Right, right.
You know, hey, we might just have to lean on these fan festivals to really make the most out of this World Cup. And I think that's where you need to help find the community in this respect. So I would say look for those fan festivals. Public transportation, again, the Northeast, I would say, is the best with maybe Seattle, Vancouver, just because their distance is shorter.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there, you've got to be paying attention to the World Cup draw. And you're going to, you know, take that week right after. Granted, depends on if you still have tickets or not. But start figuring out your travel plans now. Start figuring out what you're willing to spend, right? For example, hotels, they're requiring 3-night minimums. And the hotels are going, unfortunately, I've seen it in Seattle, for example, for $1,000 a night. So it's not just the tickets. Yeah, and I've been saying it for 3 years. I've been saying it. This is going to be the most expensive World Cup. I wasn't thinking the tickets were going to be this expensive. But I will be honest. Mm-hmm. It's the travel. The flights, hotel, Uber, food, parking.
Parking,
you know, like all that. Is going to cost you more than probably the ticket itself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's something that in all the details of like, yeah, there's a lot of hurdles and there's a lot of challenges, but all the stuff that you are sharing is help, and even, you know, I've been following you for a long time, but even just like the gathering points and all this other stuff, what credit cards, what airlines, and all this stuff is all incredibly helpful and informative, and yeah, the hope is that, you know, the way you flew business class to Qatar and all this stuff, like maybe some of people can compile enough points to make this World Cup a little bit more affordable.
And granted, you probably needed to start earlier. Let's just be completely honest, you know, so then your travel plans might have to change. You know, for example, I had the initial plan of 16 cities, 16 matches.
Yeah.
Right. Granted, now I have a baby. So, you know, that obviously changes things.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, that changes things, of course. But at the same time, there is no way now I can do 16 cities, you know, with the amount of points
without
I have.
Being an absent father.
Well, absent father to begin with,
and
right?
And terrible husband.
Yeah, and terrible husband. And then also let's add $20,000 in credit card debt,
of course,
right?
Of course.
Like, you're not going to be able to
do that. Your kid will pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, who cares about college at this point? It's overrated. So, but that's the problem, right? Like, the costs were just going to be too much. So now you have to readjust. Fortunately, I have over 40,000 Amtrak points. So I'm hoping Colombia lands in Group I.
Yeah.
And I just go up and down the Acela train and just, you know. I know if we're talking about Colombianos ahí. So that's the hope.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, look, we've worked with different World Cup committees, and everybody's like, it's the biggest event in the world. And there's a lot of people doing honest work to try to make this a successful World Cup.
Yeah.
I like that you're highlighting, you know, because we're all going to go. We're going to go regardless. And yes, you could have whatever opinions of whether it's politics, whether it's FIFA, whatever. But the supporting your country and supporting these players is important to a lot of people.
It's great.
And for a lot of people, this is like the only World Cup they may ever attend. Being able to just navigate that in a way that is, the most affordable, the most informed, because it can be kind of a nightmare if you're just like figuring it out the week of or day of where a hotel, parking, all these other things.
And I want to give a shout out to all the people that have been following me, that have been messaging me, you know.
Sure,
all this entire
I'm sure you get
time.
A lot of real, of gratitude. Yeah.
Yes, that they're like, oh my God, thank you for like keeping me informed because this process is complicated. Yes, it is insanely complicated. It's unnecessarily complicated. I've called it planned negligence by these institutions because it should not be this difficult. You're telling me FIFA can't give us a whole price list? Like they've done that, Qatar, Russia. They give all previous World Cups. Here's the price list of all the tickets.
Yeah,
that's what you should expect. Not for here.
They do when you ask them like how much are the tickets? They're like, how much you got?
Yeah. That's exactly how they're doing it.
We'll start there.
Yeah. Man, interest you in an NFT. Like that's exactly what they're doing.
It is wild. I mean, and just for people listening to this that may not know, maybe the first time they're interested in going to World Cup.
Yeah.
This is we're taping this before the World Cup draw. Mm. But a quick explainer of like how to get tickets if they did want to get them.
Okay, so we don't know how phase 3 is going to look. So there you go. So that's the answer. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's been the theme of this entire process. Phase 3 could be either we have to reapply again, but more than likely it's going to be an open market. So we might going to have to wait in that digital queue.
Yeah.
Who knows how long. So I suggest you take the day off. Like, just seriously.
And just to highlight, yeah, for people to get into that phase three, they have to, like, register.
We don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
We don't know.
Got it.
We don't know if that's, if they're going to require that again, or if it's just going to be like, hey, y'all can just join in at 11 o'clock, like how they've done the previous two times, and not tell anyone by email.
Got it.
So it could just be everyone joins in at 11 a.m. because that seems to be the time that they're doing all of these sales at start time. Join at 11 a.m. and see what happens. Like, that's literally all they're telling us. That's why it's such a frustrating question to answer. Not because, you know, it's a gotcha question. More like, I don't know, go ask FIFA. Like that's, I'm literally trying to ask people the same thing.
Yeah, question. I mean, we got two tickets. And just to be transparent, we got two tickets. And that was in phase two. I applied. Alexis and I both applied in phase one. We didn't hear back. Yeah, phase
hear
back two.
Either.
We both applied and he got a response.
Okay.
And he was in the queue for whatever 30 minutes.
Okay.
And then was able to buy tickets. And yeah,
that seems to be like the better user experience, because I've had so many people tell me the website crashed. I've been here for 5 hours. That's what I'm telling y'all. Like, take the day off. If it's on a Sunday, you ain't going to church. Okay. If you got, honey, I might need to take the day off too from fatherly duties for a little bit. But I get these tickets. All right. Tickets. Like, you're just going to have to plan for just a long queue. Just think about it like if a new shoe dropped or, you know, anything like that. You're just going to
have Jordans.
Yes. Or this Venezolano that's selling his arroz chino around here in New York.
I don't know this guy.
Instagram. Yeah. The rice looks good. I mean, like, oh yeah, there's people waiting 2 hours.
I see people waiting in lines to get the latest Labubu.
There you go. Yeah. Like, you just be ready to take all that time. Yeah. But then again, it's not just the ticket. If you're looking to travel throughout this World Cup, you're going to need to also take the time to plan which airline you're going to fly with. You know,
hotels.
Remember, you have the 3-night minimum requirements. Like, if you got a family member, please ask them to crash their couch. Like, there's no need for you to spend $3,000, $5,000 just on the hotel, you know, when the ticket's not even going to be
a fifth
of that price, right? You're just going to have to find all the frugal ways. And I mean, don't discount traveling by road. I think a lot of people are going to travel by road because they're going to try to, you know, okay, I'll just sleep in the car, for example. There's obviously pros and cons to that, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're just going to have to find the way that you're most comfortable with.
Hitchhiking. Have we thought about
I don't know, man. Them ice fans are still roaming around. So, you know.
You can't be too reckless.
Yeah.
Danny, this is super awesome, man. And I know this is just hearing people talk about this. I know it's going to be very helpful. And obviously, the information is incredibly, like, priceless. But everybody, make sure you follow Travel Football Fan on a bunch of different platforms. I know you're on TikTok and Instagram.
And YouTube, yeah.
And YouTube. And
that's football and in Spanish, too. You
know? Football, Travel.
En español.
Travel Football Fan. You do incredible work, man.
Thank you.
I like I said, I know it's incredibly difficult and thankless, and you got to deal with a lot of annoying comments, but the stuff is not only important to hear about for people that are who just want to go to games, but it is like you said, it's like a civics class. So you get to I think the a World Cup lets you know. This is also why I think, like, you know, candidates like Mamdani and the mayor in Seattle also.
Yes.
Also kind
of. Why do you think Trump was saying, hey, we need to move these guys out of Seattle because communism. Like, of course.
Right. But it's like, bro, if we had more of a concern and prioritization on transportation, on everything, healthcare, all these things, you start realizing, like, oh, we don't have this infrastructure.
Yes.
Yeah, wages. We don't have this infrastructure that would be incredibly ideal for the World Cup because a few billionaires don't want that, right? So that's the frustrating thing.
Whereas Qatar, you know, okay, yeah, they had their issues. We obviously, they're very well documented, but everyone came out of that World Cup saying, oh my God, this is a World Disney experience because of the hospitality.
Right.
And here we're saying, get out of our country. I'm not even in yet.
But this,
like, give me that visa.
That Qatar can have a better World Cup experience than us is, like, it's mind blowing, right? But no.
Estamos, bro.
So we'll see. Maybe they turn things around.
Yeah.
Danny, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.